You're listening to The Running Ground with Joseph D. Welcome back and thanks again for tuning in. Hope everyone's staying healthy, staying safe, and grinding. Whatever dream it is you're chasing, whatever goal it is you're pursuing, just keep grinding. And remember, mindset is everything. I was kind of semi-retired from doing this podcast thing, but then something brings you back. Something you see along the way just kind of brings you back. And for me, that one thing was the Texas Independence Relay, which took place here at the last weekend of March. It was a 200-mile race all the way from Gonzales, Texas, all the way to Houston, Texas. And for those of you not familiar with the Texas Independence Relay, it's teams of up to 12 people. You're in a van of six and another van of six, and you're running a relay race. So your first leg, somebody runs about 6 miles. The next leg, it's about 4 or 5 miles, and then 6 miles and so forth. And you keep tagging your people. And then eventually you get to that second van. And when that second van goes, you know, where that first van is taking a break while that second van is going. Very similar to the Ragnar Relay, for those of you that are familiar with that. But it's a really cool event. I always say if my team asked me to run and do this again next weekend, 1,000% I'm in. It was a lot of fun. It was a great team building event. And, you know, the crazy thing is, you know, we all kind of just think we're going to go in there and have some fun. But when one person pushes the pace, the next person pushes, then the next person pushes, then the next person pushes. And we were originally clocked in to finish around 3:30, and everyone just did so well that we ended up finishing around 12:51-ish, somewhere around then. But man, that race was unbelievable. Just the scenery you go through, you're starting off in the country. Nice little hill country, and hills are a nice way of putting it, but you're starting off on dirt roads and eventually make your way into the city, where you end up at Memorial Park in Houston, and then all the way at the waterworks at Buffalo Bayou. Super cool event, and that's kind of what brought me back to this podcast, because there was some people out there that I saw, and I just thought their story was so inspiring. But as always, if you like the content, please share it with your friends and follow us on Instagram at the.grind.effect. For brand apparel and other designs, you can go to our website at thegrindeffect.net. However, it hasn't been updated in a while, so maybe don't go to that. But if you could all do me a favor and rate the podcast and write a quick review, it helps with whatever algorithm these platforms use and just helps me and gets the show out. And, you know, like I said, I don't know if I'm back doing this podcast, but there is a story at the Texas Independence Relay that I was just so inspired by that I was like, you know what? I need to get them on this podcast. And today's guest plural, is Chris and Christina Speaks, who ran this Texas Independence Relay as a team of two. Now, mind you, a lot of us are running as teams of 12, covering 200 miles. I've heard about a team of four doing it. This was a husband and wife duo tackling 200 miles, which was just so crazy to even just fathom, like think about, because I was kind of done. You know, I'm giving it my all at 6 miles, and you know, I get like 9 hour breaks in between, six, 7 hours in between my two legs, and these two are just basically just going, you know, just kind of handing off. I think he did 36 miles his first leg, she did 19. He did another 32. She did another 15. I'm going to let them kind of tell the story of how you get to a place of like, hey, you want to run this relay race with just the two of us? But, you know, when we saw them out there, you couldn't help just be in awe of what they're trying to do. And I think I saw them at Exchange 12, which was about to be like 13. Christina was finishing up her run, and she was about to hand it off to Chris, and that was my first like glimpse of like, oh, these are the people that are running this 200 mile race as a team of two. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, I got to get in touch with them. I was trying to look for them on social media, Instagram, Facebook, but they're so hard to find, which I mean, that's by design. They're not really like social media people. But luckily, just with a little bit of digging, I was able to contact them and get them on here and talk. And I think the key takeaway is what we saw from them out on that course of just always checking in on each other and just kind of like the way they interacted. That's how they are in real life, and that's their story. And you know, their story has definitely had some ups and some downs, starting all the way in high school and becoming teen parents, you know, moving away to college at, I think she was maybe 18 or 17, 18. And he was kind of a freshman in college, and they moved to Kansas without a dollar to their name, but you know, they stuck it out. And you know, they, at every point that they were thinking that they were down and out, something happened where it brought them back up. And just, you know, lucky events like that, I don't know if it's luck, but just, you know, fate, if you will, got them to a place to where they are the proud parents of three boys. They're up in Washington now, but they're coming back and doing some of these fun races. They got a Ragnar coming up. They have the Red River Relay, which is from Oklahoma all the way down to Dallas. That's about 170 miles that they're going to do in November, just between the two of them. And then they're going to come back in 2024 and attempt this 200-mile Texas Independence Relay by themselves again. Really great couple, really sweet. You can just kind of tell that they were, they're really there for each other, and you know, they have a really great relationship. So sit back and let's run with Chris and Christina Speaks.
Welcome to The Running Grind, a podcast dedicated to finding the story behind your journey. Presented by The Grind Effect. It's a lifestyle, it's a state of mind, it's a reminder that success, your success, doesn't always come easy. And here's your host, Joseph D.
You know, you kind of said that it's already kind of cold and about to start hailing up in Washington, which is incredible. How long did it take you to get acclimated to the weather in Washington versus living here in Texas?
We're not used to it, man. I'm not used to it anyway.
Yeah, I'm still not used to it. I think too, during the winter months, the lack of sunshine is kind of, it really weighs on you.
Yeah.
So I started getting house plants. And
got some greenery and...
Yeah.
I've started collecting Pokemon, so that kind of gets my mind off of things.
Wait, so how long have y'all been in Washington?
Oh, since 2020.
3 years.
Yeah.
How long?
2020. 3 years.
Oh, 3 years. So not very long, but still not enough to call yourselves like hardcore residents yet. That you're.
Yeah, no, I'm still a Texan at heart. So
it's weird. I tell people, I don't know what it is, but like, you're so proud to be from Texas. Like, it's like everyone has to know that you're from Texas.
It's the cold.
It's the Southern hospitality. How are people? I mean, I know you're going to say that they're nice, but how's life in Washington?
you know, especially here, like in Camas. You know, it's definitely a different culture. It's a culture shock, right? We were, I feel like where we grew up, you know, everybody was waving at each other. Maybe it was like the small town vibe. But, you know, moving here, it seems that, you know, people kind of mind their own business a little bit more. And so when you wave, they don't wave back. And it's just...
Nobody knows each other.
Yeah.
That's so weird, right? Yeah, coming from Texas, I feel like everybody in the given area just kind of know each other. And we do have that Southern hospitality.
And they're like, who's your mom or who's your dad?
Yeah, how's your mom doing?
Now, how old were your kids when y'all moved up there?
Ooh, what?
Well, we have one baby that's a Washingtonian.
Yeah,
was born here in Washington.
A Washingtonian.
Yeah.
So our oldest, he was eight.
Yeah, seven eight. Or eight.
And then we have a four-year-old. Yeah.
So three boys.
Yeah, three boys. Brooks was like three. He's our middle child. Waylon, our oldest, was like eight.
Yeah, seven going on eight.
Yeah.
Lived here. So they are, you know, they're used to it, but they definitely remember living in Texas. And so.
Yeah, always asking when we're going to go visit grandparents and when are we going back to Texas. And
how often do I get to make it back down here?
Like once a year, if that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our family comes
to
us.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because okay, so, we have her dad and her mom are separated, and my dad and my mom are separated. So can you imagine, you know, trying to juggle between all these households when we go down?
And they don't get along.
Yeah, they don't get along.
Oh no. Yeah, yeah. So it's like they can't even be. It's not like they can be just like, hey, can you guys just all be in the same place and we can go to one?
Same place.
Yeah.
No, it's everyone's like kind of. I mean, I'm sure everybody could be cordial, but
yeah,
it's easier to bring people up to see us.
Kind of spaced out throughout the year.
But now we have a really good excuse to go back to Texas every year.
Yeah.
So that was your first time running Texas Independence Relay?
It was my first time.
I did it when I was in middle school with my
child, and they finished it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
All right. So I got to ask, how old are you, Chris, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 28.
28. So you did this in high school?
High school. Yep. I was, I think, a freshman or eighth grade going into my freshman year of high school.
Jeez. Well, I guess this race has been going on since 2008. So it's not out of the realm of.
Yeah. I think we were 2010. I think that was when we did it.
Yeah. I was looking for y'all's signature on the little
poster things. Yeah, I remember doing it when back in the day, and you know, it was interesting, and it was obviously beautiful when the cannon went off and everybody's adrenaline's going. And we had a team of 12, so we broke up two vans, and six went into one and six went into the other. And we split it up in a way to where
Way that most people do it. Y'all just were different. Well, you know, not getting too ahead of ourselves, but what was your the experiences? I mean, there are obviously two different experiences. I mean, you're more than like 13 years apart from your first and your most recent time doing TIR. Do you kind of remember the course as being very similar? Has it changed over time?
I think it's been very similar in terms of I did most of my runs like in the Houston area. That's how the legs kind of broke out, is when the second band really picked up. And so I remember like from Eagle Lake all the way up to Houston is when we kind of ran, and they kept it very similar to what it was. Unfortunately, we didn't make it past Eagle Lake. And so that's kind of where things get foggy. I don't know how they change the course, but all the way up to then was similar. We get running through Weimer, I think. Is it Weimer?
Yeah, Weimer.
Running through Weimer, getting the baton, and you know, all that was the same. It was awesome. The only thing I didn't experience was when I was running it when I was in middle school, was when I went through Weimer, it was just packed. They had like people up and down the road. There was like parade going on. And when I ran through it this last time, there was like nobody there.
There's nothing. Yeah.
That was our fault. We started at like 6:13 or something.
6:18
in the morning, and we were both ahead of pace.
Yeah.
Too fast. We started too fast.
Yeah. Oh, really? Y'all were like ahead of, like, freshman mile one and beyond.
A couple hours before everybody. So we didn't really see anybody till nighttime. So we were just out running alone for a long time.
And that's why I said, you know, like the people that were driving past and supporting were just so big for my mental state, because at that point, when I first saw the vans really picking up and I was starting to walk a lot more, was, I don't know, I think I was, I think it was like 50 to 60 miles in. And so for my mental state, I was fighting it, man. I was just like, there was nobody cheering you for like the first 60 miles. And you're just like, there's nobody out there cheering. And so like when people were, saying good job, it was just pushing me a little bit more,
Yeah. So, talk about a mental game in that early going. Cause you're probably one of the first teams to even start, right?
Yeah. We were like the first, first top 10 to start. Yeah.
I was surprised y'all weren't like the first team to go.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I was telling them that, I was talking to, I think Jay called me a couple weeks before the race and was like, hey man, this is a 200 mile race, right?
And I was like, I don't know if you know what you signed up for, but
yeah. And so he was just like, all right, just, wanted to touch base with you, because we had one other group do this, years prior, and they dropped out, and things didn't go smooth between the two of them, and they were trying to put blame on elsewhere, right? So he just didn't want that to happen again, to us have a bad experience. And so I was like, hey, if we drop, it's on our own accord, right? We're not going to hold a grudge against anybody. But I told him that this was our pace, this was our plan. He was like, okay, well, let's try to shoot you for earlier in the morning. Let's go 6:18, and he even offered to let us start the day before. He said, they won't be out there helping, or there won't be any supporters, but at least you'll get a day before to start. And I was like, honestly, I don't think we'll need to get that early. And unfortunately, I was a little antsy, I was a little pumped up. From the race. Yeah. And so the plan was to go in right with like this slower pace, and so unfortunately we got ahead of ourselves, and that's what happened. So
but you know what, I mean, you live and you learn. But I mean, just that task of deciding to do this, you know, before we kind of get into that, what y'all are obviously runners. Chris, I was looking at some of your times, and you got some sick times, bro.
Thanks, man.
Like a 108 half marathon.
Yeah, that was an interesting story too. Like, I don't know, man. I feel like all of my races post collegiate, you know, career, when I did the half marathon, it was in San Antonio. It was like 50 degrees. It was windy. It was raining. And there was nobody out there. There was no bands playing like there would be in a rock and roll half marathon, in those marathon events. And it was one of those experiences again where I was by myself and just mentally just, you know, taking it in. And I was like, oh man. So I was telling myself like, hey, you know, the next race I'll go out and run and there'll be supporters. And you know, lo and behold, do this next big race. And again, there's nobody out there. I'm like, dang it, what the heck's going on here?
Yeah, so we all both race. Like runners grown up.
Yeah, I would say so. I did, yeah. You know, a lot of sports, and I think our parents did a good job of putting us like a t-ball, baseball, and flag football, and soccer, and whatnot. And so we've been active all our lives, but you know,
I was the kid that treated PE like the Olympics.
like when they say go out for a mile run, you're like, oh, I'm going.
Yeah, yeah. Like I'm gonna be first. Like
I honestly hated running when I was in middle school. I hated it. It was like, cause I had that mentality of like, oh, I'm going to be a basketball player. Oh, I'm going to be a football player or a baseball player. And, you know, my coach at the time, he was like, dude, you're 5 foot. Like, unless you get and looking at your parents, yeah. You're 4'11". Like, I don't see it happening. And so
get this kid some horse steroids.
Exactly. Right. You know, I was like, yeah, it's not going to work out. And so he, you know, told me to go try out for cross country. And I remember, you know, this was in Onalaska, Texas. We didn't have a track. It was like a dirt field in the back.
And, that's so Texas,
right? Small town, Texas, East Texas town. And anyway, they had us go out and run. And I remember, you know, as soon as I got out of the sight of my coach, I walked. I was like, yeah, I'm not running. Screw this. And then when I get back in the sight, I'd start running again. Like, oh, I've been, you know, running. And he got me into it, you know, back when I was in like, you know, seventh grade.
But Coach Kane.
Yeah. Coach Floyd and he's Kane.
Kind of kept in touch with him over the years,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah, oh, really? So, shout out to Coach Kane.
Yeah, for sure. He's you know, got me into it, and he's the one that really set me straight, because I was that, you know, I had that mentality of every teenager where like, oh, I know everything, you don't know anything type of mentality. And I think without him, I wouldn't have gotten to where I've gone with, you know, my college career, and, you know, even going to college. I don't think I would have even made it to college.
So where did you go to college?
St. Houston State, Eden with Cats.
Oh, and you you ran track, both of y'all?
Yep, yep.
Yeah, Do y'all both run track?
I did not run. Do you
want to explain? Yeah. So basically,
I mean, I ran, but it wasn't like collegiate level running.
Yeah. So basically the way it worked is, you know, the brainchild behind this idea was Coach Parker with, he's the head cross country coach there at St. Houston State. Right. And he had this idea of recruiting me, because I went to a JUCO straight out of high school. My grades weren't good enough. And so I went to a JUCO and did 2 years there, got my associate's degree and got my grades up to, you know, a
3.5.
Yeah, 3.5, 3.6. And so it got me into a 4-year, and, you know, the idea was to bring me on, and then also bring Christina on, but she wouldn't have to run. So basically they would pay for her school, pay for my school, as long as I was running for their school, for that school. And so that's kind of how it happened. Yeah, huge deal, right? And, you know, that's the reason why I went to St. Houston State. They offered the best for, you know, Christina and I, so we can excel in our education. And I took it without a doubt. And so, yeah, there was other options on the table, but nothing was as good as St. Houston State. So I'm very thankful for that. But, yeah, went to St. Houston State for college, for track.
I think you had mentioned y'all were teen parents too, right?
Teen parents, yeah.
So was this – did you already have a kid at the time?
Already had a kiddo.
Well, I was 16 and he was 17 when we had our first kiddo. And then I graduated high school a couple of years early. I got like in some program that let me do it at my own pace. Mm-hmm. And then he graduated and he got a scholarship offer in Colby, Kansas at the junior college. Mm-hmm. And we just went for it. So we were just teenagers. We moved to Kansas all by ourselves with our baby, and
it was hard.
It was like, it was, yeah. I remember being so shocked at seeing things like paper towels, how much they cost and things. And, but it was really good. I feel like that was the best thing for us. Well, of course, like if he had not gotten that scholarship, you know, we would have had to figure out school. Otherwise, I know there are Pell Grants, but we pretty much lived on those Pell Grants. That's what paid our rent. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we just went out to Kansas all by ourselves and just had to figure it out. And it was really the best thing for us.
Yeah. I remember the first month we were out there, man, it was a situation, right? We get up there, we load up our, he was like 7 months at the time.
Yeah, he was 7 months.
7 months at the time in the U-Haul, and we had the, you know, little car on the back of it, a little car trailer. And we get to Colby, Kansas, and we get to this apartment complex and try to go to the office. And, you know, the apartment's not ready. It's not ready until Monday. We're there on what, Friday or Saturday? And so I think, you know, we were just like, we were defeated at that point because they said it's not ready. There's nothing they can do. There's nobody here. And so we went back to the U-Haul and we just slept in the U-Haul. And yeah. And then lo and behold, like a couple hours later, I get a call. And I think, you know, the apartment complex, you know, the office saw us kind of like sleeping there. And so they were like, hey, we made it work. Your apartment's ready. You can start moving in. And yeah, it was a hard month. And then like that first month, you know, we didn't have any money to our name because we spent it all on the U-Haul and traveling all the way up from, Cold Spring, Texas to Colby, Kansas. That's like 1500 miles. And we get there, and that first month we couldn't afford rent. So I was calling my mom crying. I was like, hey man, I don't know what to do. You know, I have no money. And she was like, you know, luckily she, you know, helped pay for our rent. And she got a job at McDonald's. And, you know, a little bit after that, I got a job following her, and she ended up becoming my manager. She was a manager at McDonald's for the longest time.
I don't tell people that though.
So you all both worked at Mickey D's.
Worked at Mickey D's.
She ended up being your manager and she's the younger one.
Yeah, I was flipping burgers in the kitchen, and, you know, she's a lot smarter than I am. And so like, I was just like flipping burgers, and she was my boss. It was an interesting dynamic. We, you know, obviously we didn't have a babysitter, so she would work in the mornings all the way to like 2 o'clock. And then I would work from like 3 o'clock to midnight. And we would just alternate.
And then
this is all while, yeah, all while juggling practice. And
yeah, it was, it was time to grow. It definitely made us mature quick, you know?
Yeah. Y'all got into the adulting.
Oh, fast.
Real fast. Man. Yeah.
Don't recommend.
It's yeah.
It was good that it happened, you know? And again, like kind of circling back to running, like had you not been like a runner and gotten a scholarship, you know, there's so many things that made us so fortunate and privileged to get to that point. And
yeah, I was this close to sign in like a, I went to like the UTI there in Houston to become like a
auto mechanic, like for big rigs and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I went in, and the guy was showing us around the little campus there, and he brought us into his office, and he opened up this like portfolio, and he like pushed it across the desk, and he was like, you know, if you sign this, you're 40 grand in debt. And I was just thinking, I was like, what a huge like responsibility you're putting on my shoulders right now. And so I was looking at it, and this is like 2 weeks before I graduated, right? Because I didn't have any scholarships at that point. And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And so I told him like, hey, we'll think about it. I didn't sign anything. So I was like, I'll think about it. And then, you know, we go back and I'm kind of defeated, right? Because, you know, I have this mentality of like, oh shoot, I'm already going to be instantly in $40,000 in debt. And that doesn't mean I'm going to get a job. It's just, you know, get a certification. Even if I pass this thing, you know, I won't have like
a career. Back. Yeah.
Yeah. And so a couple of days pass and I get a call from my coach in high school, Coach Thompson. And he was like, hey, you know, there's this coach in our district who, you know, he was a coach for Huffman Hargrave, cross country coach. And he reached out to the coach in Colby, Kansas for you, and he got you a scholarship and he wants to talk to you. And so I called James Ortiz, you know, the coach at Colby, Kansas, who got me up to Colby, and yeah, they offered me a scholarship. And it was insane how it kind of like played out, because like Christina was saying, like, without that, I would had a completely different path in our life.
And mind you, this coach was like the rival team, like Huffman versus Chris, like in cross country and track, they were rivals. And then he just knew this coach in Colby, Kansas. He was like, hey, you've got to check out this guy.
Yeah.
And
wow.
Yeah.
I don't know if we would have gotten an offer.
Yeah. I don't think I would have, because he was literally the only offer I had in high school.
And that came at like the 11th hour.
The 11th hour, like literally the week before I graduated, I signed the scholarship, you know, the papers, and I was heading up to Kansas.
But we were risky, you know, teen parents, he's had a kiddo. And
yeah, nobody wanted to invest in me just because, one, obviously my grades were terrible in high school. I was not a good student. And then two, I had a kid. Like, you know, obviously that's kind of like at the bottom of the barrel. Nobody's going to go after that. And so, yeah, it's crazy how it worked out, man. It's, you know, running literally saved my life. I don't know where I would be without it. And so.
So yeah. how long after you're up in Kansas, did Sam Houston come calling?
Oh, they were, I think, after the first year.
Yeah, you had like eight or nine schools trying to get him.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had.
So you must have been crushing it.
Yeah, I was, you know, my collegiate career there and, you know, for JUCO and, you know, the NJCAA, I was a 10-time All-American and had multiple school records. And, you know, I was actually devoting myself to having a good lifestyle, you know, eating, sleeping correct, and, you know, actually doing homework and studying, you know, all that stuff I was actually doing. And so I think it just set my mindset right. Right. And it allowed me to excel. And so doing that, you know, the schools started coming and, you know, there was the Thor of them, like, you know, you had Western Colorado, you had UT, you had Adams State, you had, you know, Arkansas, Sam Houston, SFA. I mean, there's a bunch of schools that were just reaching out to me. And then I reached out to a couple myself, but again, I was still a risk, right? I had a kid. And I think that was the issue. I reached out to Chico State. I reached out to Oregon, and, you know, they all said, you know, we would love to have you. Unfortunately, we're just going to go different paths, and, you know, can't knock them for it. You know, it's a huge risk, and they're looking for, like, you know, top tier runners. And so I shot my shot, missed it.
Was that always like your plan, was to excel to the point where another college where you can move up, or was it just like, whoa, I'm actually doing really well that these other, did it catch you by surprise?
No, that was the idea, right? Because I felt like we were always backed up against the wall, right? With high school, I didn't have a scholarship, got a scholarship, went to two-year university. And then from a two-year university, like, I got to get to a four-year university. So I got to perform, I got to excel, I got to do something. And so the idea was always to go on to the next school, just so we can finish off and get our degrees. Because we couldn't afford it, right? We couldn't afford to go on our own accord.
Now, Christina, were you going into Colby's? Is it called Colby State?
Colby Community College.
Yeah, Colby Community.
Colby Community College. Were you going in there as well?
Yeah, I went there as well. I got my Associate of Science from there before moving to Sam Houston.
So you're juggling a manager job, school, and a mom, and he's juggling a job. Ridiculous, like, training for running, maintaining that physical, you know, ability that he's been given, all while, man, that's nuts. All while being teenagers, young parents. That's nuts.
Yeah. I did graduate high school 2 years early. So yeah, I was still 17 when we were in college in Colby. So yeah, we were babies.
So I gotta ask, just because y'all are teen parents in a new city, new college, just y'all two on your own, were y'all just always there for each other, or were there some rough patches? Like, I'm going to go back home
there was rough patches, but I always felt like, you know, we had that mentality of get over it. Right. You know, let's not be mad at each other, because we have, you know, we have a kid together, and let's make it work for Waylon. And obviously we love each other beyond any doubt. And so it's just, from my perspective anyway, it's always, I have tantrums, she puts up with me. So, you know, I think she's like one of the best people in my life, just because she's so kind hearted and, you know, she keeps a level head. That's the best thing about her. She keeps a lot, like, I'm a hothead. I react. I'm a bad, I guess, you know,
you're good.
Anyway. Yeah. I feel like, you know, we kind of like, we compliment
each other pretty well.
Yeah. No, basically. Yeah. Like, definitely teen parents, not supposed to work out. Yeah. So it's crazy that now we've been married for 10 years. I think we've just grown up together, just kind of figuring it all out. Again, being out in Colby, Kansas, all by ourselves, so young, just out there to figure it out, I think that really helped, like, solidify, you know, like, make it work.
So there's never really a time where y'all were like, you know what, just go back home, or, you know, like, I'm leaving.
No, oh, yeah.
That's amazing. That, I mean, because it's so much easier, I guess, in today's like world to just kind of be like that, right?
Yeah. I think my upbringing anyway, you know, Christina, she grew up in a loving household. Like, I don't want to say my house wasn't loving, right? But
I definitely come from privilege, I guess.
Yeah. From my perspective, it was, my mom was a single mom. We had five kids she had to take care of. And so I kind of like grew up in that. And so I felt like, you know, you can't just give up on anybody, and, you know, because I got, we were given up on when I was growing up. And so I just didn't want to pass that along. And like, I always wanted to not be a statistic, right? You know, we were always told, like, you know, statistically, you're supposed to fail. You're statistically,
right,
you're
not yeah.
whatever. And I was just like, in my head, I was like, you know, keep feeding it to me, because, you know, we're gonna defy the odds. And so,
and we weirdly mesh, like, we both,
yeah,
like, I don't know, we both like similar things, and both enjoy running. And
like, I have to say that when I saw you running, Christina, I was like, man. Because we saw you right before the exchange at leg 13, that little stretch, right when y'all made that switch, when Chris was about to take when he took the baton, I think it was like maybe 2 o'clock, 1 p.m.
Oh, yeah.
The heat of the day.
Yeah. And I was like, man, she looks like such a gentle runner. Like, just like, like telling the ground, I'm sorry. You know? And then I was like, man, she just looks like a gentle person. So,
right. When I look at her, man, she can literally hold a pace and just hold it there for the longest time. And I'm like, you make it look so effortless.
Yeah.
Where me, I'm like, I'm, you know, fighting myself. I'm like, oh, you know, I got to get out there and push it, you know, and she's just cruising along.
I know what I can do. And it was hot and I just finished 20 miles. It was uphill.
So. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That was nuts.
Yeah.
So then you both moved to Sam Houston, and they obviously knew it was a package deal for y'all. So that, I mean, that's fantastic that they wanted you enough that, you know, that they gave you something that benefited Christina as well too.
Sure. Yeah. That was the whole ordeal, right? It was, I was looking for colleges to, you know, hey, we come together. Is there anything you can do for her? If you want me, I can come, but this is what I'm kind of laying out for you. And like I said, the brainchild behind it, you know, Coach Parker, he literally had an Excel spreadsheet and numbers and, you know, formulas everywhere. And he was showing me, like, okay, so this is what you're going to get. This is what she's going to get. Broke it down for me. And I was like, all right, this is where we're going.
And this is that coach from high school.
No. College.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He broke it down for me. And, you know, he was telling me, he's like, I wanted to get you in high school, but your grades weren't there. And I was just in the back of my head, I was like, yeah, I get you. But I'm also like,
we were a risk, like, yeah, given that, you know, teen parents, and yeah, other people knew, they like knew what was going on.
Yeah.
They were like, oof.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah. Well, Christina, where did your like running career kind of start for you?
Oh, I've always ran like recreationally, I guess. I don't know. I just run. Like, that's the exercise I don't hate.
So even from like high school, did y'all meet at cross country and stuff like that?
We really did. We met at cross country practice in high school.
I was a new kid. Yeah, literally. I went to Onalaska. We moved from Onalaska my sophomore year, and then my end of my sophomore year to Cold Spring, Texas. That summer, Coach Thompson reached out to me, you know, the cross country coach for the high school there, and he was like, yeah, come on to practice. We'll do some workouts. And I go into the gym and there's three girls sitting around in the gym, you know, doing whatever. And I laid eye contact on Christina. I was like, oh, whoa.
Girl.
Yeah. I was like, oh, look at that.
No. What's it? Oh, in high school though, like as far as my cross country, it was Southeast Texas, you know, so it really wasn't a thing. You know, people don't run cross country in Cold Spring, Texas. It's like more about like, okay, who wants to volunteer to come run, you know? And, I'm certainly not a sprinter. So, yeah, I just ran because I enjoy running. And even now I do work full time. And we've got kiddos and I'm still breastfeeding and all the things. So, running is just like whenever you can squeeze it in. And now we're getting more into racing and things like that. So that's nice.
Yeah.
How old's your youngest?
18 months.
Oh my God. So you came down here, ran TR, and you're still breastfeeding?
And I was pumping.
I was about to say, and you're pumping in the car. God, that's like double the energy right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's okay. I'm used to it now.
So I know you don't like really keep track of your times, but have you run like the half marathon, marathon distance? And
Yeah.
I guess I typically now I run 30 to 40 miles a week. Yeah. And I would say long runs for us are about 20 miles.
Yeah.
So like half my mileage is like on one day. And for that 20 miles, we go through trails, and then we also have some gnarly hills that we go up.
Oh my
and
gosh,
we probably stay around like 9:15 to 9:45 pace.
So that's pretty fast. So you kind of got some speed to you.
Oh, for sure. Don't let her. Yeah.
She Chris, like, tell me what like her half marathon time is. Cause I just can't imagine anybody who you have to have like some speed to you to take on this task that you guys decided to take on.
Well, honestly, with Christina, I have to like fight her for doing any type of speed work. She does not like doing speed work. She likes to cruise.
Yeah.
And so from a half marathon, I think you did one way back when Galveston.
That was terrible. Don't have that one. No.
And so
scratch that. Now I guess if I go run in the trails, it's pretty flat. It's not too bad.
Hey buddy.
There's Brooks. my comfy pace usually is about 8:20, 8:30. And if I'm like really pushing it, like maybe 8 minute pace.
Yeah.
A comfy pace is 8:20. That's like a lot of people's race pace.
Okay. If you say
that. All right, I'm gonna go ahead and say that you're a pretty strong runner, because that's pretty legit.
Yeah, she can move, man. Like I'm telling you, if I can get her to commit to some like speed training on the track, it'll help bring that average pace over her long runs and her other runs way down.
So do y'all partake in races up in Washington, like, you know, local races, or is that not really, y'all just run?
Yeah.
Just the Ragnar Relay that they have here.
Well, yeah, we've done the Ragnar Relay. It's the Mount Rainier Ragnar Relay.
Now, do y'all do that by yourselves too?
No. Yeah. So that was kind of like what catapulted us into back into training. Cause honestly, at that point I was kind of like on and off running on the weekends, and her coworker actually invited us out, paid for the trip and everything. So, you know, thank you, Amy, for doing that. She basically invited us out. We go out there, and it was on a Friday, right? And it was a team of eight.
Yeah, a team of eight. It's like an overnight race.
Yeah.
And there's like a 3 mile leg, a 5 mile leg, and an 8 mile leg, which sounds like no big deal. But let me tell you, this will humble you real quick.
Yeah.
The 5 mile is like a almost 6,000 foot elevation gain.
Wow.
Like up a mountain.
It was burning.
And then even the 3 mile was a 1,200 foot elevation gain, which like reading that on paper, I was like, oh, not so bad. But then you're like, oh, wait, 1,200 feet. Like now when we do our
over the course of just 3 miles.
Right. Yeah, right. When we do our 20 mile, I think we get like a whole 300 feet. So just like 3 miles.
Yeah.
Anyway, we went in thinking, I was like, yeah, my pace is about 8:30. And then we ran that, and it's like uphill.
She probably knew how strong runners y'all are. So she's like, I got to get them on my team. Come on. Come on. I'll pay for you guys. Come on. Just join up.
Now she's, she invited us to another relay. So we'll do the Ragnar Relay again in August. And then we have another one here in Vancouver. I don't remember what it's called. Vancouver Relay, I think. And that's like a 60-mile one. And there's like 5 or 6 of us. So the legs are like 12 miles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, y'all knock that out easily.
Yeah, but honestly, we haven't done any.
I'm sorry, we did an ultra race.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We did the Bristol Trail Run there in Oregon, right next to Eugene, Oregon.
What was the distance?
50K. It was a 50K. Okay. And, it was a quiet little race. There was, you know, maybe like 100 people that showed up, and it was like six loops of 5 miles. And honestly, it wasn't terrible, but again, it was one of those situations where there was like nobody out there. But
he did great.
We both did great. She was a third overall female. And then I was the fourth overall male, as well as fourth overall individual. And so like, yeah, she's amazing. But when it comes to like the races, we haven't really signed up for anything. It was just more like recreational, like we'll go out and run ourselves just to stay fit. And I want to get back into trail running. We kind of want to get more trail runs under our belt, ultra runs, but that stuff gets pricey, man.
Oh, I know, dude. I mean, TIR was like $1,300.
Yeah.
I don't know when y'all signed up for it, but I don't know how it worked for a two-person team, but you know, yeah, it was typically like $1,300.
Yeah.
But I would like to get more involved in racing. I think now is like our year though. Like we are finally like established in our careers, and I don't think we're having any more baby. And so now we're just creeping into it.
Have you guys hit the 100K or 100 miler yet?
Not yet. That's definitely something I want to do. I want to compete, you know, that's my idea. I was like, you know, I had a gap between college and where we are now, because honestly, I didn't really see where I was going to go. You know, I didn't want to try to do anything professionally because I have a family to take care of. So I chose the safer route to get a job.
We didn't have time.
We didn't have time.
And I was doing my master's and internship, so I wasn't there for a year and a half, except on the weekends.
Gosh.
And so, yeah, he was juggling at the time two boys and working. And so, yeah, that was your break.
That was my break.
And break from running.
But yeah, no, when we got back into that race, it kind of like, you know, churned up some memories. And, you know, I was like, you know, why not? Why not go out and run? And, you know, this is something that saved my life. Why did I give up on it? And so I'm getting back into it and, you know, finding, you know, obviously the love was there for a little bit. I honestly didn't want to run anymore. Like I did competitive running for like 10 years and I was just like, I'm done. I'm over it. You know, this, I don't see any path forward. You know, I'm losing the joy out of running because, you know, it's all like a mental state that you got to stay in all the time. And so that break definitely helped and definitely has catapulted us into trying to get into more races up here in Washington and definitely a lot more, relays, hopefully back in Texas. So
there's one thing I've learned from talking to just runners on this podcast is a lot of people after they've done like the competitive running, and especially like if someone of your like stature is, they typically transition to trail running because it's a little bit more joy and it's different than, you know, the road running per se.
Oh, for sure, man. I feel like, you know, my experience with any type of competitive running, and there's, you know, you can find good pockets in the running community there with competitive running, but there's also a lot of toxic pockets. You know, there's a lot of, you know, they're not supporting you. Like they're not supporting their fellow runners. It's more of like me versus you. And those types of situations of where you basically run a person into the ground because, you know, you're trying to be the best runner. And so that's kind of where, that same mentality is, you know, doing it for the longest time, you're just like, I'm over it. I'm mentally drained, exhausted. And so running to trails, you know, you get to experience wildlife, you get to experience why you run, like the joys of the world. And I think that's kind of why we're going back into that trail running scene, is because it's something that, you know, you don't have to take so seriously, right? You don't have to take yourself so seriously. So that's what I enjoy out of trail running for sure. It's relaxed, it's laid back.
Yeah.
And so,
well, I mean, you know, y'all do the trail running thing, and I consider TIR kind of a trail run, just out in the open.
Yeah.
You know, no trees and no bushes or whatever. But what made y'all decide to take on this challenge of 200 miles from Gonzales, Texas to Houston? How did this all like start?
So, yeah. Originally started with me reaching out to my old cross country teammates and, you know, wanting to reconnect with them. Cause you know, it's been so long since we've seen each other and, you know, it's just like, hey, you know, I miss talking with you guys, hanging out, running with you guys. And so I was like, hey, we should do the Texas Independence Relay. I did it when I was in middle school. You guys should really come out and we can do a team of 12, you know, I'll fund the van, you know, we can all get together and do this thing. And I had a couple of people say, yeah, that's a great idea. You know, lot of these guys, they kind of, you know, just stop running, right? It's something that they kind of just, you know, put behind them and moved on with their life. And so I didn't get as many people as I wanted to come out and, you know, support and do the race. I think there was like maybe five people that were like, yeah, we'll sign up. And then, you know, a couple months later, I reached out again and crickets, nothing. And so I was just like, okay.
I mean, everyone's grown now. Yeah.
There's nothing I'm not against anybody, but no, it's just they didn't respond. And so I was telling Christina, I was like,
did you pay for it?
Yeah, I already paid for Christina and myself, and we already had team name picked out and everything. And so at that point we're just like, all right, well, we're already signed up, might as well just do it.
Especially after doing that ultra. I mean, I know it was only 30 miles, but like I feel like we could do it. You know, even now, like I feel like we could go back and do it.
I know, I'm kicking myself.
Now you know what to expect.
Do what?
Now you know what to expect.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we have a better head on our shoulders with race plan, race strategy, nutrition intake. That was the biggest thing for me anyway, was I was literally just goose, blocks, you know, waffle, all this acidic, you know, candy-like stuff to try to, you know, give me some energy to run. And then when I stopped running, when she would take off running, I didn't eat anything. I had like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but I was nauseous. So I was like, I can't eat anything right now. And had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and then I, you know, take off again, and same thing, jelly bellies, goose, blocks. And so like my stomach was just like, dude, this isn't going to work out for you.
Yeah.
And so definitely have a better plan next time, right? I think.
Yeah, there's definitely some gut ischemia going on. Yeah. Like there was just, couldn't tolerate anything. I finally was able to, you know, like the Boost.
Yeah.
Boost stuff. Yeah, I could. Like it was like the HEB brand, but I could get those down okay. That was my saving grace. Yeah. I think too, since we went out so hard with our first legs, like your first 36 miles and 20, and it was the heat of the day. And so that was kind of, I think next time, especially in the heat of the day, we should probably break that up a little bit more instead of doing our, you know, longest stretch.
Yeah.
So even though it was just like the two of y'all, y'all still felt pretty confident going into this, that we can knock out 200 miles.
Yeah. For like the training aspect, right. I think we were fit enough. Like I felt like, you know, honestly, we could be a lot more fit. We really started running back in January, really started getting into our training schedules, you know.
I've been running.
Yeah, you know, she's been running, but like from my perspective, I didn't start running until like January, getting serious again, because I got injured there for a little bit, stopped, and then picked it up again. And I think from a fitness perspective, we came into the race kind of like, yeah, we feel good. You know, we could be better right now, but we feel good enough to be able to go out and do this thing and, you know, slow our pace way down compared to what we usually run and really knock it out. And so, yeah, to Christina's point, I think we really shot ourselves in the foot, you know, with going out way too hard, really never running anything over 32 miles. And so it was kind of like this idea of like, well, let's go out and see what we can do.
And it looks like y'all had somebody there with y'all filming this.
Yeah. My dad.
Oh, that was your dad.
Yeah, it was my dad. So we had, you know, even getting to this race was a huge task because we had to have somebody watch the kiddos for us. So we had to fly my mom up from Texas. She had to watch the kids while we're gone. And then we had to fly down. We didn't have a ride because, you know, we thought we were going to have like a team of 12 and, you know, we could switch with drivers and whatnot. And so I reached out to my dad. I was like, hey, you guys busy this weekend? You guys want to come out and, you know, drive for us? And, you know, obviously they were fully supportive and said, yeah, let's do it. And so my dad was driving and, you know, my stepmom, Cindy, she was driving and, trying to support us throughout the whole race. You know, he was like Facebook live in so all of our friends and family could see us.
I saw him with a little like stick and
walking around.
Yeah. But honestly, that was, I don't know. It was cool to have, because then social media was just like, you know, huge and everyone's like following our journey through this and like rooting for us. And
no lie. When I found out, because at 14, when I realized that 13, when I realized y'all were the lone runners and doing this by yourselves, I was like on social media trying to look you guys up. I couldn't find it, but I was like, man, who are these people? I need to see like what's going on here.
We're not the app social media when it comes to like running and stuff, but but
yeah, we're nobodies, man.
I've recently made a Strava. But I didn't download all my, I tried to pair it with my Garmin, but I didn't download everything. So I was like, well, this is lame. It makes me look like I don't run that much. Anyway. That's funny.
So you said Jay contacted you a couple days before, like, hey, just let you know, this is not like a walk in the park.
Yep. He basically reached out and he said, hey, you know, this is a 200 mile race. I see your team of two.
You're missing your other 10.
Yeah, he's like, is this a typo? I was like, no, that's my wife and myself. And he was like, yeah, man, if you know, I'm all for it. This is inspirational. Go for it. And I was like, yeah, we'll try our best. And, he had that concern of, you know, holding it against him if we drop. And I was like, no, man, you know, if we drop out, it's on our own accord. We're no grudges. You know, it's something that we're going to go try to attempt. And if we do it, great. If we don't, then lesson learned, we'll do it again and do it again next year. So, it was an interesting call because, you could hear it in his voice. He was like, he was concerned. Nobody's done that.
Yeah.
I think to date, nobody's ever done it with only two people. And so that's our goal, is by next year to do it with us too, and have a better everything, right, going into this race, and now have a better head on our shoulders to do so.
I think we started about 6:32, but I remember being there and I just hear in the distance, like, you know, they're running this whole race with just the two of them. And I happened to look over, but it was like still dark, so I couldn't like see y'all. But it wasn't until, like, again, when I saw you on that mid-afternoon that I was like, these are them. Holy crap. This is crazy. So what was the breakdown of the miles? Who did what?
Yeah, so the idea was to break us down in like four segments each. That's kind of how it worked out. It wasn't like a plan. Like, honestly, we went into this with no plan. It was like I was looking at the leg segments on the Microsoft Excel spreadsheet that, you know, was part of the website there. And I just assigned, you know, hey, I'm going to do this. Christina's going to do that. I do this. Christina's do that. And so the first leg, I think I did the first eight segments, 36 miles. And then after that, Christina had the next four, which was what, just under 20?
20, which
yeah,
were the hilliest.
Yeah.
You know when they like grade the laps and it's like the hardest or whatever? Yeah. Like, had I known? I don't know.
Why do I got a bunch of fours and threes on my segment?
Yeah, so that was the idea. It was 36 for me, 19 for her, 39 for me, 13 for her, 28 for me, and then 13 for her. That was the idea. I think we messed up because I had too long of lengths and she didn't have enough. And so like her running, I didn't get enough time to recover. And so next time we're going to split it up evenly to where we can have better recovery, you know, times instead of, you know, her getting 5 hours and me getting, what was it, like 2.5 hours when you did your 20. And so it was just like, we need to do a better recovery. And so
how did that first 36 feel?
It was good, honestly, man. Like it felt like it was
way ahead of pace.
Yeah. I think on average, I was averaging like 8-10 pace.
Oh my God.
36. And so I felt fantastic. I mean, honestly, again, my adrenaline's going, you know, the vans are out honking. And so I'm just like, yeah. You know, and so didn't have any self-control like Christina does. And so she hit the 19. And so she was killing it. Like, you can tell in her form, she was just cruising along, doing her thing. And but yeah, from my perspective, the first 36 was
and he didn't listen to music during his first lap. He was just like headphoneless, no music playing out loud.
I was scared I was going to get fined, you know, a penalty for having headphones in. So I didn't do anything.
Yeah, but
are we not allowed to?
Well, on the rules, it says don't put on headphones on the roadway because you'll get docked like, I don't know, 30 minutes or 60 minutes to your time. But like, I think the back roads, you should be good. But like the whole way, I was like, yeah, we're on the back roads. I'm going to keep them off because I don't want some microfishing to come by and be like, hey, 30 minutes added to your time.
Dude, you had to be trucking because one, we didn't catch it till like the afternoon, but then two, like some of those segments were hilly as heck.
Yeah, the first
still maintaining 820 something.
Yeah, the first 36. it wasn't terrible. Like I said, it was cool. It was really cool that morning. Yeah, it was like a beautiful, cool temp. And so
it was amazing.
Yeah, that crisp air. And so I was running and doing that. And I think not until after like segment, I want to say, oh man, what was that leg that was like in the backwoods up a hill? I think it was like segment 3 or 4. And that's where I passed like the leaders and they were like, you're now in first place. And I was like, oh crap. Because like at that point I was just running to kind of like, you know, chase people, right? I was just chasing the next runner. And at that point I was like, well, this is not good.
And I thought surely like when I started running that someone would catch up to me, but no, I was alone the whole 20 miles. No one caught me.
Yeah. Like you said, that I think that segment right there at that railroad was when I started catching up. And I don't know, I don't know how many miles we were in, but that's like, I think we were 36, 46, 56, 60 something, 70 something miles in until people started catching us. And, you know, like I said, from a mental standpoint, it was hard. It was hard just being by yourselves. But like from a physical standpoint, I was just like, for that first 36, it was nice and smooth. And I was taking nutrition in good, but I think I, you know, just really screwed myself after not getting enough food in after post run
and recovery. Not having
cover and hitting that next 30. Again, it was supposed to be 39, but I hit 32. And then, you know, Christina was brave enough and, you know, I was thankful enough that she was like, here, let me take this. And she took it. And at that point, it was just a downhill for me. For her, she was doing great.
How was your first 19, Christina?
It was good. Towards the end, it was really hilly and hot and I ran out of water, which usually I'm not like a drinker when I run, which sounds terrible, but like, I feel fine. I don't really get thirsty, but it was just so hot.
Even for like 20 miles, you don't really drink?
I mean, I do like, I don't run out though. Like I never would run out of my little water things.
Man, I feel like I start drinking at like mile 6.
Same.
But there, yeah, I ran out of water and I mean, I felt fine. Like I was tired, but I felt like I could definitely go another leg. I mean, my next leg was 15 miles and I felt fine doing that. Mm-hmm. But towards the end, yeah, when it was just getting really, really hilly, I was feeling it. And luckily a couple of vans were coming and checking on me. I don't know who the first team was, but, and then the second team, I know it was the scrambled legs and they water and I was like, oh thank you. Like, I really needed some water.
And that's our people.
Yeah, seriously, like that's the hardest thing too, is like we didn't have, you know, the idea was we're gonna go leg to leg. So my dad would drive to the next leg, we would have like, hey, you're doing 8 legs, we're gonna meet you at 4, see how you are, and then we'll meet you at the next 4. And so I think from that perspective as well, we need to adjust it because she ran out of water and, you know, I was burning up. I needed water to dump all over me. I was burning it hot. And so, I think that's, we're going to go into the race plan the next time with, okay, we're going to have more frequent check-ins, kind of do the leapfrog effect, right? Kind of like, hey, check in on you every quarter mile. And, you know, when you get later into these races and go from there. So,
worried about like the course itself, like getting lost or.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I ran into an instance where somebody removed the flag and put it on the opposite side of the road and faced it the other way. And so I got up to this, it was like a T.
Because all of them are supposed to be on the left side. So then it was weird to have it.
Yeah, it was on the right side. And I was like, okay, that's one. Because like usually when I was running, the wind would blow the flags and flip up the direction. So I would have to go fix it. And so I would flip it down so it would point me to the right direction. Well, this one was completely out of the ground and turned. Like somebody intentionally, you know, adjusted it to go the wrong way. And so I was like looking around and, you know, on the road, they have the spray paint, right? To tell you where to go, like a safety net.
Yeah.
And so I looked around, I was like, okay, I'm supposed to go right. This is telling me to go left. So I took the flag and I turned it right. And it was just, that was an instance where I was like, I was second guessing myself because again, they were already way up ahead at the next couple segments. And so I was like, do I go left? Do I go right? I don't know what to do here. And so I was sitting there for 5 minutes just staring. I was like, what do I do? I'm already feeling it. It's hot. And so I was just sitting there for 5 minutes just looking and I was like, all right, I'm just gonna follow the sign on the road. Hopefully this takes me where I need to go. And luckily, yeah, I made it to the next segment and saw him. And I was like, oh, thank God.
Oh, man, that's wild that somebody would actually, like.
I'm telling you, that whole first 36 miles, I was concerned about the flags because, you know, normal people wouldn't go and mess with stuff that's not theirs. But there's people out there that do it. And so I was just making sure, check the road, check the flag, check the road, check the flag. And everyone, you know, would match up. And so it was getting me in the right direction. So
I'm glad y'all told me that, because I had no idea that. One, they're supposed to be on the left-hand side, but then two, like, there's also, like, check the road, check the flag, check the road. I was just looking for the flag.
Yeah. It was, without that road marker, I would have literally gone left. I would have been off course. And so, to your point, yeah, that was a huge concern of mine, and especially for the drivers, my dad and my stepmom, right, is, you know, they were trying to follow the segments on the maps, and there was one instance, I think it was leg 13, where it took us to Schulenburg. And yeah. We were like, why are we in Schulenburg? Like, where's the exchange? And
they almost missed her.
Yeah, we almost missed her. Like, we were like 10 minutes, 20 minutes away.
Was that where y'all exchanged to each other? Was that the one where you were exchanging to Chris?
Yeah.
And was missing?
Yeah. Hard spot to find with the maps.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know what was going on with Google. And so, like, it was taking us to Schulenburg, and it wouldn't take us to exchange 12 or 13, whatever that was.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, you're right. Because we were like, this isn't right. Because it said our destination was like 40 minutes away. And we're like, that's clearly not right.
Yeah. So we luckily made it to her, got her water, got the exchange, and yeah, it was something that definitely was a concern, but we made it. We made it to the point of where everybody else was. So
yeah, I was worried about time though. I was really hoping that I'd see a flag or the marking on the road, and every time I did, it would just. But the whole time I'd be stressed out, and then I'd see it, and that's okay. And then be stressed out.
I mean, were you okay out on the road yourself?
Yeah, I felt okay. I mean, of course, there's always that thought in the back of your mind, because I've had some sketchy instances running alone, you know, like in Huntsville, Texas, and having, you know.
Oh, really?
Stranger danger, but so of course that's in your back of mind, but it's okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously there's always that danger. I meant like in terms of like the course and.
Yeah. Course was all marked, and I felt it was fine. I mean, of course, like you mentioned, sometimes the wind would wrap up the flag and I would have to fix it to see which way to go. But otherwise it was fine.
This was my first time running TIR, and my biggest thing was like, how hard is it to get lost? But everyone was like, it's not hard. You have to like read your segment, you know, kind of like have an idea of where you're going and then just look for the flags. And I was stressing out over my one leg. So I can't even imagine like, you know, encompassing 14 legs or whatever, 10 legs, and trying to remember all that. So I mean, kudos to y'all.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it was definitely, there was times where you were like she said, you would have this long stretch of nothing, like no signs, nothing. There'd be intersections you have to cross, and you're like, I really hope I'm going the right way, because
yeah,
no signs here. And so yeah, it worked out good. And honestly, I'm thankful, because when I was a kid, I don't remember doing or having flags. I don't remember having the flag markers. I think there was like indicators on the road, but I think there was like cones with like, you know, paper taped to the cone. And so they really stepped it up. And so when I saw that this last go around, I was like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah, they were weighted flags.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think at mile 13, when we saw y'all, when we saw Christina come up to exchange Chris, I think the whole crowd was just watching y'all too, like just in awe of like, being like, wow. And then and the fact that y'all were like checking in on each other, like Chris was just like, you okay? And then you even hung out a while, and you were like in the back of the hatchback,
yeah,
just hanging out. I mean, I think everybody was just watching, like just in awe of like, I can't believe these two people would. I mean, it was inspiring. I say that we were all watching like in a very inspiring type of way. But yeah, no, I mean, seriously, after I saw you and I found out that y'all were the two like lone runners, I was like seriously trying to like find y'all on like Instagram or something. And I was like, I gotta get these people on my podcast, because I want to hear about this. Like, what made them want to do this? But
again, nobody's, man. We didn't really, we're just out there trying to do it, have fun, really push ourselves and, you know, test our character and see what we're made of, really. And, you know, we've been so much worse, and so I felt like this was something we could just easily go through. But yeah, it was a it was a great, great time, learning experience. And we definitely love the support, everybody that was out there, for sure.
For sure. Yeah. You know, you kind of had mile like 13, 14, and God knows how many more miles after that. But like 14 was rough, man.
Oh my goodness, man.
I can imagine, like, I was trying to gun it. Like, I was trying to gun, like, you know, 7 minute miles, but I can't even imagine with, like, you know, only 2 hours of recovery. You just ran 36 miles. It's like 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And you're out there having to knock out these hills. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. I think training around here definitely has helped us with those hills, because we have like grades that are like, I don't know, what are they, like 9%, 10% grades around, because we live on a hill. It's called Prune Hill. And to get down, you got to run down like a steep, steep hill. And so it just, our legs are kind of accustomed to those, you know,
rolling moments. Hill type of things.
Yeah, the rolling hill, but they're like, they're steep rolling hills.
So like at the end, we have, I guess, our loop that we run for the 20 mile. And at the end of it, the last mile is like a 600 something foot climb, which doesn't seem like a lot, but just like, just in a mile. And at the end of your long run. And I think that hill is like, I would just tell myself, I was like, I've ran this hill so many times. If I can do this hill, like, there ain't nothing else.
Yeah. But every time it's like, shoot, there's that hill.
Yeah.
Well, every time I see a hill too, I'm just like.
Well, yeah. I guess to the point though, is like the training around here has really, really prepared us for the hills that were, you know, they were smaller hills. I don't want to say small because they were good rolling hills, but they were like, our legs were accustomed to that. And so I think that kind of, one, we did the Ragnar relay too, so it kind of put into our head like, this hill is nothing, right, compared to mountain we've climbed. And so it really helped mentally be like, oh, we can just slow the pace down, kind of shuffle up this thing, and we'll get to the top. And like, you know, every uphill there's a downhill. So that was my mentality, is that every uphill there's a downhill. So this might
problem with 14 was like, it was a downhill and then it was like a crazy uphill, baby downhill, another uphill, baby downhill. And I'm like, what is this? Who put this here? So you made it through another 32 segments, right? And then
32 miles. Yeah.
32 miles. And then Christina, you took over again.
Yeah.
So you made it through the baton, right? You got the baton. Yeah, I made it through the
baton. So again, there was nobody there. There was a DJ. He was like jamming, you know. I was like, oh, cool. And so, but there was like the people at the tent. There's two people at the tent. And they took my number and I just kept going. And there was just, yeah, it was.
And then they flagged us down. They're like, oh, wait, here's the baton.
You know what? I saw Christina like segment or like 10, because me and my team were like eating at a restaurant. And I was like, I saw her running and I was like, oh man, that girl has no, like, her team's not here to take the, you know, take the baton from her, not knowing that y'all were the 2-person team. But there was nobody hit that station yet when you passed by.
That happened a couple times.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh man, that girl, her team's not even here to like get the baton from her. I guess she's just gonna keep going.
Yeah.
It was intentional.
Yeah. Wait, so okay, so I mean, we know y'all made it 122 miles. How far did that take y'all to?
End of segment 21.
Yeah, I just finished. It was like
like 5 miles.
Well, it was like a 6.9 mile one. It was like that long leg. It was pretty flat.
Did y'all make it to the high school? No, that was no. Segment 24,
22. Yeah, we made it to the end of Eagle Lake.
Okay. Yeah, because y'all made it to Snappies and everything, right?
There was some like I don't know, what, a cornmeal or something.
Okay. I think those were the legs that I like, we had our break on. So
yeah.
Cause we picked it back up at 23. And so y'all stopped at like segment 20.
21. Yeah. End of segment 20. Yeah. It was like in the middle of nowhere. Right off the road, right next to a railroad.
Was that you running that, Chris?
So she ran, so I did a 10 mile segment right after she did her 15. But man, that whole 10 miles, I was hurting. Like I was, my muscles were like starting to not cramp up because I was taking salt tablets, but like my muscles were starting to get really tight. My IT bands, like every step felt like
just hurt.
Just like a guitar string, you know, they were so tight. just sitting there twinging, you know. And so I was going, and I get into the little SUV there, and I was like, I can't go any further. You're gonna have to take over. And the idea was to transition into like 10 mile, 5 mile, 10 mile, 5 mile segments. But those 5 mile segments, when she did that 5 mile right after my 10, it was only an hour. I only had an hour of recovery. And so I got up, tried to get a banana, get some water in me, and instantly threw up. Tried to get some ice chips in me, threw up.
Oh, man.
Couldn't keep anything down. And so at that point, Christina came in. She looked great. You know, she was carrying herself incredibly well with doing as many miles as she did. And I looked at her and I was like, I can't do it.
So at that point I was like, it's fine. You rest. I'll go take on this other leg and then we'll reconnect. And then he was like, no. And I was like, okay, well, we'll give it an hour and we'll see, you know, let's see if we can try to get something in you, take a little power nap, like, you know.
Yeah. How hard of it was a choice to, like, you know, call it.
Yeah, it was terrible. Cause like, you know, we had this for 2-3 months, we were kind of building up to mentally just prepare ourselves. Physically we were working, but mentally we're like, we can do this. You know, this is nothing. We can go ahead and get it knocked out. And so when we had to tell my dad and tell everybody that was following us like that, hey, I had to drop out. And then also from my perspective, seeing Christina put in all this hard work and, you know, looking great where she was, and, you know, for me to be the weak link in this race, it was hard. It was something that, you know, I wasn't anticipating. And so, you know, I don't like quitting on things, and it's been eating me ever since I jumped off. Is, you know, I could have done better. You know, we could have done this better, could have done that better, but we're looking at it as if it's a learning experience. And so next time we go into it, we know what to do. And, you know, that's kind of how we're treating it. It was hard obviously to drop, but there's always a next year. And so it's not like the end all be all, you know. And so not trying to beat myself up too much, but it's definitely one of those things where it's in the back of your head, like, hey, you quit.
Yeah, definitely don't beat yourself up, because I only ran a total of 24 miles and I felt so accomplished. So you should not be like beating yourself up for tapping out after doing 36, 32, and, you know, however much more you did.
Yeah, no.
I think if we could go back though, like, because we have 59 miles left, you know.
Yeah.
At any point were you like, you know what, I'm gonna take on this last 80 miles?
See, I don't think I could do 59 by myself. And so I think if I could go back though, I should have just taken on like another 15 or something. I mean, I just should have went for it, you know, just to see like how many more I could get in by myself and like force feed some supplements into him or something.
Oh, you're gonna take this.
Yeah.
So what time was it that y'all ended up, you know,
2:30?
Yeah. It was early, and
I guess the night before too, before the race, we didn't really get any sleep either.
Gosh. Yeah, that's another thing.
So just nervousness or
no, oh. Chris's family's great, but they're night owls.
They're night owls, man. Dad, you're a night owl and you do better.
Did y'all stay like at their house or
do y'all have like a hotel? We flew in, right? We flew in Thursday. So our flight, we left Portland at 6 o'clock Pacific Standard Time and got to Denver. Denver had a layover. We didn't leave Denver until like, I don't know, 11:30, 11:50. We didn't land in Austin until like 2 or 3 in the morning. So we get to my dad's house. We sleep for like 6 hours, get up, we go grocery shopping because we need to get all the supplies for the race. We get some food in us. We have to go to Gonzales to pick up our race packet. And so we're kind of like just going all day. Yeah. That night, my dad, you know, we get home around like 11:30-ish. We take a shower, we go to bed. We wake up at 3. We leave the house by 4, get to Gonzales by 5. By 5:50, we're kind of like, you know, preparing ourselves to go run. And so, yeah, those first 2 days, we got like no sleep. That, you know, from another perspective of doing better next time, is I think we're going to go in, get a hotel room, kind of sleep, have a day to kind of like settle in, relax, and then, you know, race day, be ready to go.
We'll add you to our block at one of the hotels. Like, so my running team, we take out like a 30 room block. I'm gonna be like, save one for the Sparks.
Oh wow. That's awesome.
Oh, but yeah, that always happens though. I feel like every time we have like some race or something coming up, we just don't get sleep.
Yeah, I feel like it's, especially if it's a traveling race, right?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Something.
I feel like everything's so far away, and we, you know, we're cheap, so we don't want to buy a hotel.
Yeah.
And so we're like, we'll drive at 3 a.m. And so we'll get like 5 hours of sleep, 4 hours of sleep, and, you know, load ourselves up with some caffeine or something and, you know, hit the race. And so we need to do a better job of doing that, but it's life right now. So
yeah, you know,
go with it.
Yeah. I think our hotel was like 5 minutes away, like a 5 minute drive from.
And that's also.
Yeah. I'm going to add y'all's name to our room block. So.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Get y'all the discount that we got.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, man. That's, I think we were looking, yeah, like hotels were like $160 a night. And then like rental vans, man. Oh my gosh, they were like $600 for the 2 days.
Yeah, so, dude, that stuff adds up.
Turo. There's a rental app called Turo. We went through them and it was like, I don't know, $250 for the 3 or 4 days that we rented it. And so save some money there. But yeah, we definitely need to suck it up and just pay for the hotel. It'll be worth it for sure.
Be worth it. Now you say next time. So I take it you're going to come back and knock out this goal of yours.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, again, I felt like it was an embarrassment to quit. So we're going to get out there, redeem ourselves per se.
Do you think that'll happen in 2024?
2023. Oh yeah, 2024. We're doing TIR, but we're also doing the Red River Relay.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that you write that down.
Yeah, so we're going to do that in October, late October of this year. So it's a 170-mile race. It's from the Red River, you know, the Oklahoma-Texas border, all the way to downtown Dallas. And so we're going to knock that.
Be a two-person race?
Two-person.
Man, y'all are going to make a name for yourselves doing these things.
Thanks, man. Well,
you know, if y'all end up doing TIR again, I'm excited. I'm definitely going to be looking out for you, and I'll definitely like make sure I introduce myself and say hi to you, like, officially.
Yeah, for sure. We like I said, any support we get, man, mentally, it'll help us. It'll keep us in the game. It'll make us, you know, continue to go. Because, like I said, there was moments where I was just like, I'm mentally just done. But there was somebody who was like, hey, you got this. Keep going. Or you need water. You want a peanut butter jelly sandwich? You want an orange? You know, they were offering me whatever. And
it's
so
it's that Texas hospitality, man.
Hospitality, man. It's that Southern hospitality.
I don't know if those Washingtonians would have done the same.
Yeah, they would have just split me off. And
yeah. No one told you to run this.
Yeah.
There's a big running community.
Yeah, there. I mean, it's a great state. It's great to be here. But yeah.
Really nothing, runner-friendly, though.
Yeah, like, nothing beats Texas, though. You know what I mean? From that Southern.
Kind of.
So in the little email write-up before TIR and before you find like your listings, your time start times, they mentioned you guys in the yep. Like, so now that I know you guys, I'm gonna be looking for y'all on that list.
Yeah. I sent him a song. What's funny is I sent him a song, you know, for the intro for the team, but apparently I don't think they got it in time, and so they played just the two of us and as our start. And I was like, what's this?
It's so fitting though.
Additional
it worked out.
Yeah, it worked out. Yeah. It was great.
Oh man, that's awesome. Well, you know, just kind of wrap it up because I took a lot of your evening here. No, definitely excited to see you guys tackle this in 2024, some learning experiences. And man, if y'all knock out that all, you know, the whole 200 miles, man, that'll be huge kudos and huge props. And I mean, we'll be out there cheering for you guys and doing the same thing of offering you guys anything y'all need. But I'm excited for y'all. I mean, it seems that one, y'all have like an amazing story from just kind of growing up really young, and to see like a relationship that lasts over the span of like high school, hardships of college, not having a dollar to your name, and then seeing where you are now, and now you get to enjoy each other's company with these types of races. Like I said, you know, it's just not something, the statistics aren't in favor of that. So the fact that y'all beat those statistics, that's an inspiring story.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's definitely something that we want to pass along to people, that, you know, you can do anything you put your mind to, right? It's something that, you know, you just got to work at. And, you know, obviously we had support around us this entire time, but it's up to you. You really got to just go out there, do it, because if not, it's not going to happen. And with her supporting me through everything, and you know, I wouldn't have gotten anywhere without her support, without support from family and friends, coaches, you know, being those staples in my life. And so, you know, I think, yeah, the message to everybody is just keep going, don't give up. You know, it's times get hard, you just got to keep going through. You know, we messed this one up, but we'll come back and knock it out this next go round. We're not going to give up. We're going to keep going until we get it. So,
man, you didn't mess nothing up. All right, well, we'll kind of wrap it up here. So cool to meet you guys and talk to you, and then hopefully we'll reconnect, you know, as TIR 2024, like, you know, comes around the corner, and you know, we get to officially cheer you on as people that I know this time.
I'll let you know when we start and finish the Red River Relay.
Yeah, I want to hear about that too, because that's kind of like the same thing.
Yeah.
All right, well, don't hang up just yet. We're gonna wrap this one up. But thank you guys again.